business may not be well known, but if it's known to even spammers who are trying to hack Facebook, if it's known to partners that work with Facebook, that's all considered public. One thing they did try to get me to sign was a non-disparagement clause. It basically means you can't publicly disparage, as defined by them, the company upon leaving. And they actually offered me $30K or $40K to sign this thing. By the end of Facebook, I knew I would be writing a book. I'm like, is the advance on the book going to be greater or less than this? I think it's going to be greater. And so I refused to sign the form. I mean, it's definitely the case that there's this sort of code of silence inside Silicon Valley. And in general, if you want to stay inside that world and play that game, then you sort of can't write a very frank account of what it's like being in a meeting with Sheryl Sandberg, for example. If you want to ask, like, what's the real reason why I got away with writing this and, like, I didn't get either sued or assassinated by Facebook, the book actually isn't that negative about Facebook. In fact, I explicitly call Mark Zuckerberg a genius, you know, not sarcastically, in the book.
You also call him, like, a cult leader as well.
Well, yeah, and that's actually true. And I think most Facebook employees, frankly, would actually cop to that. Maybe your follow-up question is, well, what do the Facebook people think of your book? At least the ones that I've spoken to, you know, the reaction has universally been, well, look, Antonio, maybe we disagree on the interpretation of a few events and decisions here and there, but by and large, you got it right. I mean, this is what it was like being inside Facebook at that time. I'll give you an example. In the onboarding is a process that happens when you join a company. And in any cult-like company like Facebook, you know, this is on order with a rebirth. This is on order with getting baptized into some evangelical church, right? You have been born anew thanks to Jesus, right? And now you are a Facebook employee. And it really is taken that seriously. Believe it or not, at Facebook, people don't actually celebrate birthdays. They celebrate what's called Faceiversary, which is the anniversary of the day that you joined Facebook. And I kid you not, you will get to your desk on your first, second, third Faceiversary, and there'll be one of those big Mylar balloons like they have for little kids' birthdays with like a one or a two or a three or a four on it with like, you know, chocolates and flowers or whatever.
Ew.
So the day you joined Facebook is the day that you became really human, actually. And so the initiation, the baptism of that process is what's called onboarding. And, you know, you would get the sort of pep rally victory speech from the various senior members of Facebook. And at the end was that little hint of a stick that you get in any cult or any dictatorship, right? And one of the things that they showed you, some engineer leaked to a journalist details of this new product. It's an email from Zuck, and the subject line says, please resign, right? And so Zuck didn't actually use email a lot. He usually used Facebook messaging. And so to get an email from Zuck was kind of this big deal, right? And if you see Zuck in your inbox with subject line, please resign, I mean, you basically start losing bowel control right there, right? And so what it said in this email was, whoever you are, and we're going to find you, you know, just know that you've basically let down your fellows. They read this email at every onboarding to every employee joining so that they understand the realities of what it was like working there.
But when you describe that scene in the book, nobody blinks an eyelash. Like, I kind of would think that if I were in that situation, I would definitely look at my neighbor and like roll my eyes. Like, but no.
That's right. Everyone really did play it straight. They embraced Facebook's mission. At least publicly, no one ever rolled their eyes or expressed any cynicism about Facebook's mission or the values at all. It was like patriotism in a 4th of July parade every day at Facebook.
As you so aptly demonstrated, the truth is actually far more insane, let's just say, than we even think it is. Like, what you say is actually beyond, like, you can't make this stuff up. Why do you think you're one of the only people taking advantage of what is obviously rich terrain for literature?
Basically, the opportunity cost of writing this book is just too high. Like, why would you risk burning your bridges in the tech world, which can be very richly rewarding, and I can't complain. I was very well paid. Why risk that for the sake of some outside truth, right? I mean, Silicon Valley, right, for all that it impacts all of our lives, if you're inside it, is actually very, it's kind of myopic and narrow-minded in many ways. You don't see anything except that little world when you're in the middle of it. So the thought of sacrificing your career and your place in that world for some outside notion of truth to explain to the normies, you know, how Facebook really works, nobody would do that, right? I mean, to be honest, the only reason why I did it, I think, is because, and this gets a little personal, but I, you know, my mother was a librarian and I was raised in a library. And to me, documenting what I think is kind of a unique period in history, which is this moment in which all of human life is basically contained in a device in your pocket. 100 years from now, people are going to ask, what was it like when literally our brains were almost directly connected to the internet? And I don't think that's a motivation that speaks to the attitudes and values of most people in Silicon Valley, to be honest.
Okay, when we come back, more with the author of Chaos Monkeys, Antonio Garcia Martinez. Why he thinks racial profiling isn't bad when it comes to ads. What Zuck is going to do in the face of...